Very pleased right now to be joined by Ed and Elliot from Editors. Good afternoon, chaps.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good afternoon, John.
Wonderful. I'm doing pretty well, thank you. Despite the weather being a little bit miserable in Yorkshire at the moment,
it's all over. It's horrid.
It looks horrendous, hasn't it? Why has the weather just turned this horrible already?
Without sounding really old-fashioned and boring, we've had a good run of it, so we mustn't complain.
We mustn't grumble. Yeah, it's all grumble now. That sort of countdown to winter where jumpers need to be brought out and hoodies and all that kind of stuff.
That's why it's a really good thing to go on tour.
Exactly.
You don't have to do anything like trying to get your washing done or anything like that. All those hassly bits of gardening when you're in the winter. Just go on tour. It's great.
Now, you know when you go on tour, because obviously you're coming up to Leeds on the 17th of October. Ed, you got to tell us about this. When you're on tour and you get your tour bus, is it all sort of decked out with, like, your modern comforts, that kind of stuff? You mentioned, obviously it's a great time of year to go on tour because you're going to be able to be in hotels and tour buses. Are you kind of used to the Wi-Fi on the bus and all that? Have you got that kind of stuff installed?
No, don't have Wi-Fi, don't have showers, don't have toilet that you can do, the important stuff in.
Don't tell me you've got to use 3G and mobile data.
You got it.
It's mobile data.
We haven't got it bad, though. Think about in the old days when people are going on sort of 6 months tours of America and they could only get to a payphone once a week to call their families. I mean, we've got it easy, really.
Yeah, I guess so. It's much better, isn't it? Do you spend a lot of time on the tour bus or are you kind of hotel guys? Are you a hotel band?
A mixture of both, yeah. We do spend quite a lot of time on the bus. I think our kind of main activity on the bus is playing FIFA. It's quite a hot topic in our band. But yeah, we like to do a bit of both. I think you do get a bit fed up of the bus sometimes, and it's nice to get a proper shower in a private room.
So now you've mentioned that there's a FIFA game on the bus. Mm-hmm. Is there a huge tournament going on? Is there like an interband tournament? Do you have anything set up?
Just about to start, I would say. When we start next week, that's when the proper action will happen.
So how does this all work? Because when you're around at your friend's house, you all kind of like maybe pick a team or you can't choose certain mm-hmm. ones because, they'll be too good. There's always one person, isn't there, who instantly sticks their hand up and goes, I'm taking Barcelona. Yeah, instantly. Is there like a system?
There's a seeding system, yeah. We're yet to work it out for this tour, but when we were up in Scotland, when we were recording the record, we sort of chose...
Pick names out of a hat.
Five-star teams only as well, wasn't it? It was five-star teams.
Top class.
So you've got to level the playing field like that, haven't you, in that case? Yeah. I quite like that idea. So who's got Barcelona, by the way?
Oh, we don't know yet. I can't remember who had it last time. I think it might have been Justin. Justin's normally a Barcelona kind of guy. Swine.
Yeah, always the one getting messy and that front three there is going to destroy many teams. Anyway, let's move away from FIFA, shall we? Shall we talk about some music? I think that's why we're here, shall
the
we?
The bands don't really talk about music.
I'm more interested to talk about FIFA. I think we could talk about that all day.
Let's move on.
Let's move on because you've got a brand new album out which came out on Friday, In Dream, which the recording process for this and the whole way that it came about is really interesting. You disappeared off to a different kind of place to get this going. Tell us all about how this all came about.
I mean, it wasn't a studio we went up to. We went. We just decided we had to get away somewhere remote to go and write together. So we tried to find somewhere that could accommodate five guys and that had a room that we could just set all our gear up and work till whatever time in the night we wanted. And Tom just sort of was searching the internet and he found this beautiful picture of basically a gorgeous day, rolling hills, the Atlantic Ocean and the Isles of Jura in the foreground through these massive panoramic windows. And he said, I think we should probably check this out. And so we just went on there, up there with our gear for a month originally, and we just decided to try and write. It wasn't any, we didn't have any ideas to produce a record. We just wanted to write and get some songs out. We'd just finished touring, so we'd gone straight from the back of our September tour, and it turned into the record very quickly.
Do you feel that you kind of had to go to a certain place to record something, or was it when you got there, and like you said, it was something very different, that it began to inspire you very quickly?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a, it's totally isolated, the place that we went to. The nearest shop is kind of 20 miles away, and there wasn't any phone reception, internet was terrible, and it just kind of focused us. And kind of looking out onto those landscapes every day, it was, you couldn't help but be a bit inspired. And Western Highlands is climate-wise, it's quite unpredictable, so it could be a storm one minute and then blazing sunshine the next minute. and all those kind of atmospheres and lights and shades. I think, you know, without sounding cliched, it did make its way onto, you know, the record that we produced.
But it must have been quite interesting taking a lot of time in a place like that, especially after being on tour for, what was it, about 2 years, pretty much constantly.
Yeah. But what we wanted, you know, we wanted someone that there was no separation between us, that we could all be very included in the process. I mean, Justin sort of took on the mantle of looking after the recording, because he's done that. He records bands. He used to record bands for a living. So he could do it. He's got the sort of technical abilities. But all of us were just sort of joining in. We were just mucking in where we could, and we were all coming up with ideas. It was very free. Nobody had to have a certain role within it. You know, we were just jumping on whatever instrument that took our fancy to try and make something that made us all prick our ears up, you know, and take our mind away from the FIFA tournament going on in the far corner. So if anything like that happened, you know, it was a moment, and everybody then jumped into action, and so it was great because there was no time constraint, and it was just, you know, we'd get up, do some work and see how it goes throughout the day, and we could work till whatever time in the early hours of the morning that we needed. But it was a wonderful experience.
I think this has been a really good way to kind of expand your sound a little bit, hasn't it? You know, to experiment with a few different things. And of course, you know, Elliot, with you being a relatively new member of the band, shall we say, even though maybe not so new, how's it been getting together with the rest of the guys, and of course Justin as well, sitting down and bringing your ideas to the table? Like you said, you were just picking up loads of instruments, kind of doing what you felt was right, and putting this all together. How was it kind of bringing your ideas to the table for editors?
You know, I think it's very much like a collective think tank now, and it's, you know, a very creative space to be in. We all kind of get on with each other and have an understanding of what everyone likes and what we don't like. So, you know, throwing ideas in the pot is not as nerve-wracking as it maybe was at the very beginning.
And because we also went through recording a very band-focused record with The Weight of Your Love, you know, that was us with our definite roles in the band, you know, the drummer, Elliot, was definitely the keyboard player, and so on and so on. So we've got to know each other. You know, the sort of shackles were sort of off on this record, and we can do just whatever we wanted. It was that's the position that artists always wants to be in.
As you said, the shackles were off. This is the first time that editors have had collaborations on this album. How did that decision come about, and how was it working with people who weren't inside your inner circle, in a way?
Yeah, so we it's funny because, you know, we've collaborated with people. We've collaborated with Rachel Goswell from the band Slow Dive, which I think the band have always wanted to get in a female vocalist at some point, and it's not quite worked out in the past, and we asked Rachel to come up and just hang out, really. I think that's kind of been the motto of this album, is just like, hang out and let's see what happens. We didn't really go into anything with any intentions. I mean, it's been quite, you know, although there's been some collaborations, it's been quite just the five of us. Normally when you work in a studio, there's engineers and there's a producer, and there's quite a few people involved, where this one is very much just the five of us. Then we asked Rachel to come in and do some vocals, which she did, and we worked visually with this guy called Rahi Rezavani. And he's become almost like a sixth member of the band, and he takes care of everything to do visually that you see, artwork, videos, photos, and it's been brilliant being able to release creative controls for someone like that who we trust so deeply.
How did you guys meet, by the way?
He came to shoot a show. We were introduced for a mutual friend who suggested that he'd like us, and I get the feeling of Rahi, he genuinely loves our band, he loves the music, he loves the way that we interact with people on stage, and he just wanted to be involved. And, you know, he does mega stuff. He works for Versace and does adverts for like Land Rover and things like that, so he does that world, and he's like deep in the fashion world. But with us, he just felt a connection. He wanted to be really involved in what we were doing from the base upwards, and so he came over to Scotland and hung out and got some just a general idea of what we were doing, and then he just gets in so immersed in the record, and he transfers what he feels about the music into story form, and then he can put it into imagery, such as the videos that he's been producing or the album artwork. And I think we've just come up with such a beautiful package. I'm so glad we released him on it, because It's just something that wouldn't have come from our minds. And when you do albums, and lots of people get involved, you know, from the label and stuff, and they put in their ideas about who you should work with, and they think, oh, I've seen this wonderful piece of work. This just felt like such a natural evolution of a relationship, and it turned into just beautiful artwork.
You know, Connor's been on our Twitter, actually, Connor Poe, and he's been asking about the other voices that are on the album, and he mentioned about having Rachel in the mix. How was it having that other voice there? He says The Law is his favourite track on there.
Cool. Oh,
thank you.
Cool. It was a pretty out there track, actually. We were thinking about getting somebody reading a poem over the end of it as well, yeah. But we stepped back from that. We thought I might have been pushing it slightly.
See, that could have been another hidden track as well. That could have been another good one, because Hannah's been on too, and she says, whose idea was it to release No Harm as a hidden track on that sample you released?
Well, I think the way we have set this record up has been completely different to anything we've done before. We didn't want to do it in a traditional, just, you know, put a straight down the line single out and see if anybody reacts, and, you know, that's sort of the way that traditionally bands do it. But with releasing No Harm on a sampler, you know, we felt like we were re-engaging what we were doing with the fans' personality as well. I think that's really important. We lost that a little bit because we've been out of the space between In This Lightning and This Evening and The Weight of Your Love was quite a long space. It felt quite a drag to us. You know, the band had almost split up and we weren't particularly in the mood for getting engaged with fans. But I think now it feels right. I think we've made an album that's worthy of people talking about it, and we wanted to start the conversation in a way that people, you know, just sort of made them feel involved.
Definitely, because it sounds so amazing. It's just such a sonic landscape, really. It's absolutely fantastic. Really good album. Heard it earlier on this week. Talking about the song which I'm going to play in a little while, actually, Marching Orders. This was something which was a little bit different. Came out 300 test pressings, and you donated them to Oxfam for sale in their stores, which is amazing. I mean, how did that decision come about? What was the thinking behind that?
I think, you know, the band's always worked with Oxfam over time, and we wanted to do, again, something that was slightly different and you know, kind of have that interaction with fans as well. And I think I've always been into, like, white label records and things like that, and getting something that feels special. And that just kind of felt like the right way to do it. I mean, the track's nearly 7 minutes long, is it? So it's not like we're going to go straight into Radio 1 and go play this 7 minute long track. We wanted to think of a different way to, you know, put this track out. But we thought it was very important to have a track like that come out first and sort of show people that this is a slightly different record, and that we're letting you into our world, not just forcing like a sugary pop song on you. It slightly has a lot more depth.
What we really wanted to do, in fact, was to get people to come up to Korea where we wrote the record and sort of invite a sort of handful of fans to go and listen to it, because, you know, that room and the views were so special to us, and we wanted to, you know, for people to get a slight feeling of how we felt when we were making the record, because, you know, a record never sounds quite as good as when you're in that room and you're listening back to it on the massive speakers and you sort of looking at the people that wrote it. It's a pretty special feeling. But I think a track like Marching Orders, and certainly releasing that, gives about as close as a count to what that feeling is.
Yeah, getting their reaction, looking at their faces must be unbelievable, especially, like, you know, even in that environment, but also when you're on stage as well, looking at your audience's faces and seeing them singing your songs back to you, and that kind of reaction that you're getting, it must feel so special to you.
It's wonderful.
It never gets boring. It's a wonderful experience. And, you know, we've done nearly 1,000 shows now, and every gig is different. Every gig has its own personality. And not to sound too arty about it, but it has. There's a vibe about these things that you've got to work at to create it, but then when it gets going, you know, it sort of feeds off itself.
And before we get talking about the gig, obviously, in Leeds on the 17th, Saturday the 17th of October, I just wanted to ask you about the visuals created by Rahi. Is this going to be something which we're going to be able to pick up, say, on DVD or Blu-ray? Are you going to release it? Are you going to go down that route? I know bands have done that in the past.
I hadn't really thought about it, really.
Oh, just giving you an idea?
Yeah.
Can I get 20%?
Of course, yeah, along with everybody else. I don't know, we've talked about obviously putting our concerts on DVD, because we've done so many and we've been doing it for so many years, and I feel like we are a live band, but in a way that would cheapen it for me, because I enjoy people coming out and seeing what we can do live, and I don't know, maybe it would dampen it a little bit if you just weren't immersed in it completely.
It's like a special memory to take away, really.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I'm certainly not highbrow. I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
It might be happening right now.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, the bosses are taking that in now, aren't they? Think, hang on, we can make a few extra quid here. We'll have some of that, which would be brilliant. So, obviously, Editor's going to be hitting Leeds 17th of October. What can we expect when you hit the O2 Academy?
I love that venue. It's brilliant. I love playing in Leeds. We've always been really well received there. I don't know if... Did you know we played the Millennium Square there a few years ago?
Oh, really?
It was a big show with Biffy Clyro. It was mega. So, yeah, we've always had that.
I remember the last time we played the Academy, it was actually one of my favourite shows on the tour.
Yeah.
It was really good. So I think coming back is going to be great again. And, you know, obviously it's a new record and a slightly different tone. And, you know, we're going up to not far from Leeds soon to work on all the kind of stage production and stuff this week. So hopefully pull something pretty special out of the bag.
Excellent. I'm sure it's going to be an absolutely fantastic gig. And I've got to congratulate you as well on 10 years since the Backroom.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, still going.
An incredible achievement. Did you have any cake, by the way? Did you celebrate that in any way?
The Backroom cake.
Yeah.
No.
You've got to have a cake, haven't you? Celebrate a 10th yeah. birthday.
Do you know, it's weird being in a band, because when stuff like that happens, you're inevitably not with each other. And I think we were just sort of all in our own separate houses. It's like, oh, yeah, it's 10 years of pain. But no, it's great. You know, I think a lot of people really took that album to heart, and it's wonderful, because... It was our debut, and it was such an important moment for us, obviously, as a band. It was a slice of what we all loved about music on, you know, a 45-minute record, and it's the platform that we've built our careers on. I think, you know, you can draw a line from that record certainly to In Dream, and we're still treading a slightly altered path, but it's the same path, really.
Yeah, I think the evolution of Editors has gone in a fantastic direction. And obviously, that album was just so good 10 years ago. And now In Dream, which is out right now, just sounding absolutely fantastic. Can't wait to see you guys on the 17th at the O2 Academy in Leeds.